Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents To Marry is Madness by Ashton Newbold, narrated by Christine Rendell. Though this be madness, yet there is method in't. William Shakespeare. Chapter 1. Whispering was an interesting notion. People often whispered their gossip to their companions as I passed, as if they believed they would somehow spare my feelings in keeping their voices quiet. But I knew it could only be unkind things they were saying, for what other need could there be to whisper? I narrowed my eyes at each passing face. I would much rather they speak their insults aloud, so my curiosity could be appeased at the very least. My feelings, well, those hadn't needed sparing for quite some time. My exterior was crusted like the edges of a tartlet, preventing anything soft and sweet like jam from spilling out. My maid, Helen, walked along beside me, as we passed all those whispering people on our way to my favourite bakery. She watched my laboured steps. Her eyes, blue and round, blinked with concern. "Will you be able to make it home, miss? My tartlet will give me the strength, I am certain." A brief spell of dizziness flitted through my head and I closed my eyes. I could have fallen asleep right there, standing up, with a single ray of sunshine peeking through the clouds and warming my face. But I couldn't stop now. This walk to town was a victory that I desperately needed. For weeks, Helen had been fetching my morning tartlet and bringing it home to me. I had lacked the strength to walk far enough, and I had grown tired of all the whispering. But today was different. The health of my body may have still been suffering, but at least my mind was still strong. The faintness in my head intensified as we walked the final street toward the table outside the bakery. I breathed as deeply as I could, perplexed at the weakness in my legs. There had been a time when I could walk for miles and not become weary at all. I gritted my teeth, wiping a bead of cold perspiration from the edge between my bonnet and hairline. "Your skin is quite flushed," Helen said. "Would you like to sit down?" "No," I took a deep breath. "I am well enough. But perhaps I am hungry enough to eat two tartlets today." I managed a small smile. The days that my stomach wasn't out of sorts were infrequent of late, so when I felt well enough, it was fair to indulge myself. Finding joy in each day was difficult, but jam tartlets were one of the few things that still made me happy. "I see the baker," Helen gave me an encouraging smile. "Just a few more steps and I would be there." I didn't want to think about the walk home for now. Only the flaky, buttery pastry and the sweet, tart raspberry jam. All that stood between me and such joy was the width of a dozen cobblestones, a few painful steps, and Mrs. Abberton. The woman somehow managed to be everywhere at once. At least, that was what I was forced to assume by how frequently she found me when I ventured out in public. She even called upon me at Oakley Manor at least once every fortnight, using the excuse that she was inquiring after my health. In truth, it was quite obvious that she actually came inquiring after my secrets, the secrets of my family in particular. And why on earth they would send their daughter to live in their country house alone? No one in Berkshire had ever seen such a thing. As an unmarried woman in her 20s, it was entirely unheard of. As a result, Everyone in town considered me scandalous, mysterious, ruined. But no matter how hard Mrs. Abberton tried, she would never become my confidant. Because secrets, by definition, were not meant to be known by anyone. It was metaphorical, really, how Mrs. Abberton stepped directly between me and my tartlet. She was always intent on stopping me from finding happiness. Her ginger hair was tightly curled, splayed across the border of her forehead. The deep wrinkles beneath them were evidence of many years of dramatic expressions and gasps that made her eyebrows shoot upward. True to form, Mrs. Abberton inhaled sharply.
"Miss Oakley, what on earth are you doing out of doors? Surely you are not well enough to be venturing so far on foot."
Her green eyes shone with false concern. Unlike me, keeping secrets wasn't a skill of hers. I knew as well as everyone else that she was the reason so many false rumours had been spread around town about me. Before my health had declined to the state it was now, I had been just well enough to socialise. I had been seeking a husband, so I had flirted perhaps more than I should have publicly, and when I began feeling unwell again, I had often disappeared into the hallways. Mrs. Abberton had used these moments to spin stories about me that were not true and convince those who had taken pity on me to stop inviting such a dishonourable, strange young woman to their events. Mrs. Abberton had added to my seclusion from my family by ensuring no respectable young lady or man associated with me. As a result, I had no friends, no suitors, and no hope for an improved situation. "Thank you for your concern, Mrs. Abberton, but I am feeling quite well this morning." It was a bit of a lie, but compared to how I usually felt, today was a vast improvement.
"You still look quite flushed, my dear."
Mrs. Abberton stepped closer to examine my face. "The exercise has benefited my complexion, I suppose." It took all of my concentration not to snap at her. Maintaining politeness in public was of the utmost importance. If I was considered scandalous and impertinent, then the derision I received would be even worse than it was now. Why did Mrs. Abberton seem disappointed that I claimed to be feeling well? My insides boiled. I was guilty of wishing a lack of good fortune upon Mrs. Abberton from time to time. But I couldn't begin to imagine why she would wish it upon me. I hadn't done anything to deserve it like she had.
"I do think it would be better for everyone if you stayed home and away from the public eye."
Mrs. Abberton cast me a pointed look.
"A maid is not a suitable chaperone."
Her cat-like eyes traced over me from top to bottom, actively in search of flaws, no doubt. My face was too flushed. She had already made that clear. She might have also been noting the dirt on my hem, or how the red ribbons on my bonnet were too bold alongside my black hair. Perhaps red hadn't been the wisest choice, with my face as flushed and hot as it was. The colour would only draw attention to it. Thankfully, I had stopped caring about what other people thought of me, especially Mrs. Abberton. I rose on my toes to peek at the bakery table behind her wide shoulders. My stomach dropped, rumbling at the same moment in panic. The walk must have taken longer than I thought. There was only one tartlet left on the tray. Mrs. Abberton had taken many things from me, but my tartlet would not be one of them. "Good day, Mrs. Abberton." My voice was curt. A new burst of energy awakened my weak limbs, and I bustled around her. My pulse felt faint and quick in my neck as I approached the table. I had moved too quickly. My head swam and my vision blurred for several seconds. I blinked hard, and when the scene cleared once again, I nearly cried out in distress. The baker was about to place the last tartlet into the hand of a tall, broad-shouldered gentleman. I stared at his back, disappointment flooding my chest. I had come all this way. If Mrs. Abbotton hadn't interrupted me, I would have reached the stand before this thieving, conniving, wicked man who was stealing my tartlet. My heart hammered. My disappointment had less to do with the tartlet than I realized. Most of the disappointment I felt was pointed at myself. If I wasn't even capable of making it to town in time to purchase a pastry for myself, then what was I capable of any more? Nothing. I was becoming nothing but a flea on the fur coat of society, even to my family. The emotions that spiraled through my heart sent a lump into my throat. I never cried in front of anyone, so I didn't worry that my tears would fall. I had become too strong for that. But sometimes I allowed the lump to sit there. The mixture of fatigue and intense emotion was overwhelming enough to cause my knees to shake. I stood my ground, though, keeping my eyes fixed on the back of that hateful man who would soon be sinking his teeth into the warm puddle of jam that should have been mine. A small twinge of hope made me pause. The man had withdrawn his hand. He was examining the other pastries on the table, as if he had changed his mind. I took a step forward, watching intently as the man leaned in to examine the fairy cakes instead. Helen reclaimed her place beside me, and I could sense her concern before she even spoke. "Oh, dear, is that the only one?" I swallowed, nodding. I never took my eyes off that man. If I hadn't been wearing my gloves, I would have been tempted to bite my nails in anticipation. And if I hadn't been so weak, I would have been tempted to push that gentleman out of the way and snatch my tartlet before he could. Something told me that my reputation would only suffer further with such behaviour. "Drat it all," I hissed between my teeth. After his long moments of indecision, the man pointed at the raspberry tartlet, and the baker wrapped it in brown paper and handed it over. I took a few steps back. Defeat wrapped its arms around me, squeezing tight. "Is there anything you would like instead?" Helen asked in a careful voice. "No." I let out a quiet sigh as the man stepped away from the table. I really didn't wish to see his horrendous, tartlet-stealing face, but he was turning around. The moment I caught sight of his features, I corrected my description. It was a handsome, tartlet-stealing face. A very handsome one. But that did not mean he wasn't horrendous underneath it all. His hair was dark and covered almost entirely by his hat, but his eyes were almost enough to strike me down. I stood too far from him to distinguish their colour, but I could see enough to know that they were pale and intense. His square jaw was tight as he swept his gaze over his surroundings. Was he looking for someone? He seemed to be a little anxious, walking with an air of caution. And then those pale eyes settled on me. The dark eyebrows above them furrowed together, creating a deep trench in his forehead. Although we had never been introduced, a sudden wave of boldness overcame me. I gathered my strength, willing myself not to appear as fatigued as I truly was. The cold sweat on the back of my neck sent shivers over my spine. Or perhaps it was the man's intense gaze as he watched me approach. Helen followed closely behind me, muttering her protests as I stopped in front of him with a declination of my head.
"Good day, sir. I apologize to approach you in such a manner, but I noticed that you have made a grave mistake, and I thought to help you correct it."
I dared a look at his expression. Green, that was the colour of his eyes. A rare, pale green that contrasted sharply with his dark lashes. He hesitated for a short moment before his brow furrowed deeper with concern. His gaze swept over his surroundings again before returning to my face. To my dismay, he took a step closer, leaning his head down to have a better look at me.
"Who are you?"
he asked in a suspicious voice. I wrung my fingers together. Perhaps this hadn't been my wisest plan. He looked at me as if he were questioning me for a crime, even though he was the one who appeared much more suspicious than he likely intended to be. Taking a deep breath, I smoothed my hands over my skirts, fighting the constant pounding in my head. I needed to act quickly if I wanted to leave with my tartlet.
"My name is Miss Charity Oakley."
I paused, hoping he would offer his name in return. He didn't. Instead, he continued staring down at me with those pale green eyes.
"Who is Miss Charity Oakley?"
Heavy skepticism hung on his words.
"Pardon me?"
I caught sight of Mrs. Abberton watching our exchange, a grimace of heavy disapproval and shock on her face. I bit my lip, questioning my wisdom all over again.
Who was this man?
"I don't care for your name," he said in a gruff, low voice. "That is inconsequential. I am new to town and I must know why you are speaking to me. Who are you?"
Why was he so suspicious of me? And everyone else, it seemed. Even as he awaited my reply, his eyes darted in every direction. My confusion doubled.
"Well, most people in town would describe me as a rather mysterious young lady who is unmarried at the age of 27, and that is their favourite detail about me, who is living alone most scandalously in her family's country house, and wasting away from an illness which has yet to be diagnosed or adequately treated." I gave him a smile. "But at the moment, I am simply a person who thought to approach you with a bit of advice that will improve your morning immensely. As I said before, you have made a terrible error."
The man eyed me carefully. I eyed the wrapped tartlet in his hand the same.
"Well, now I am quite curious," he said, his guard lowering slightly. "What is this grave mistake I have made?"
I grimaced. "I watched as you purchased the raspberry tartlet from the baker. I'm afraid you chose the most tasteless item of the selection. I cannot think of one person of my acquaintance who enjoys the raspberry tartlets. It is the puddings that are highly praised, even the fairy cakes."
I paused, lowering my voice.
"Well, it is very strange, but my maid does quite enjoy the raspberry tartlets. I cannot understand why," I shuddered.
He stared at me for a long moment before a perplexed smile tugged on one side of his mouth.
"You have approached me outside the bounds of propriety simply to tell me that I chose the wrong pastry."
"Yes."
I knew full well that it was ridiculous, but I had to pretend otherwise.
I regret the day I chose the raspberry tartlet, and no one was kind enough to stop me.
My eyes widened. I hoped to spare you the disappointment.
I gestured at the table a few feet behind us. Perhaps you might select a different one.
He tipped his head to one side as he watched me.
First, I think I ought to taste this one to see if it is as repulsive as you seem to believe.
He began unwrapping the paper.
Sir, I took a deep breath. I would not suggest that you do that. Perhaps I can purchase it from you to give to my maid.
My head was hurting more by the minute, the back of my neck sweating as my vision blurred. The heat of the day combined with my exhaustion was not boding well for me. His expression changed, just a slight shift. His lips curled upward with a look that said, "You don't have me fooled." I couldn't deny I'd been relying on the hope that he was a bit simple in the head. I gave him a flirtatious smile. Perhaps that might stop him from pointing out my trickery.
I do wonder why the most disgusting item at the bakery would be the only one that has run out.
He tapped his chin before something of a deep cackle spilled from his mouth. He bit the inside of his cheek and shook his head.
It takes a great deal of audacity to trick a stranger out of his raspberry tartlet. I shall enjoy every bite on your behalf.
My skin prickled as he started walking away. I let out a huffed breath, struggling to keep up with him. I was vexed enough to regain a little of my energy, or at least forget the dangerous state I was in.
You do not understand. Not a morning passes that I don't eat a tartlet from the bakery.
Helen held onto my arm, speaking in her rushed, quiet tones as she urged me to slow down. I followed him all the way to the edge of the square, even when he turned the corner. He walked ahead of me, not bothering to look back.
A creature of habit, I see.
My nostrils flared. He was not going to change his mind. I stopped to catch my breath. He didn't know what that tartlet meant to me. Even I could recognize how utterly ridiculous I had been for trying to buy it from him. But I had been doing ridiculous things more often of late, in my attempts to remain alive and happy and sane amid my circumstances. My throat tightened again.
Miss, are you all right?
Helen held tighter to my arm. That atrocious man continued walking down the empty part of the street. My vision blackened at the edges surrounding him.
Miss!
I felt my legs buckle and watched as the ground grew closer before everything else went black.
Chapter 2.
There was something cold and wet on my forehead. I scowled, keeping my eyes closed. My entire skull pounded and ached, and my eyelids must have been sewn shut. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't open them. A quiet groan escaped my lips as I adjusted my position. I was lying down, on a sofa. It felt like the sofa at my house, but I couldn't be certain. How could it be? I didn't recall walking home. I had collapsed to the cobblestones and fainted. Slowly, I became more aware of my surroundings. Light crept through my eyelids, and sounds made their way to my ears. And I did not like those sounds one bit.
I think she is waking.
It was the tartlet-stealing man's voice. My eyes shot open. Unfortunately, I hadn't been imagining it. I was lying on the sofa in my drawing room, draped in a warm blanket, my head resting on a soft pillow. The faint sunlight that filled the room warmed my face. Everything was as I had left it: heavy blue drapes, floral and gold wallpaper, and a Persian rug. But seeing that odious man sitting in the chair across from me, was like discovering an insect floating in a delicious cup of tea. What the devil was he doing in my house? I forced my elbows under me, propping myself up to a sitting position. I nearly fainted again with the abrupt motion, and the cloth on my forehead fell into my lap. It was certainly him. He had those same striking eyes that exuded mischief and amusement, the same dark lashes and brows. Without his hat, his hair fell over his brow in a soft curl. He didn't have a smirk any longer. I could give him credit for that. I almost hadn't recognized him without it. I jumped a little when Helen spoke from directly above me. "How do you feel, miss?" Her hands reached down to retrieve the cloth from my lap, replacing it on my head. She pulled my shoulders back until I was lying down again. "Confused." I narrowed my eyes at the man across from me. A hint of a smile touched his lips, but he said nothing. I looked up at Helen, hoping she would provide me with some sort of explanation as to why that strange man was sitting across from me.
"You fainted," Helen said.
"I do know that." My face grew hotter. "That is not an uncommon occurrence for me." I couldn't have this man thinking that I had fainted simply because I was so upset about the tartlet. That would be embarrassing beyond measure. "What happened after I fainted?" I wasn't quite certain I wanted to know that answer. Helen wrung her hands. "This man carried you home. I assured him this happened often and there was no need to call the physician. You came to and drifted straight to sleep." I sneaked a look at the man from the corner of my eye. I hadn't thought him to be a gentleman. The fact that he had carried me was the detail of the story that stood out the most. I swallowed, avoiding his gaze. What was he still doing here? He had delivered me safely home, so what was he waiting for? I could only imagine how I looked in that moment, with my wild black hair and flushed cheeks. I cleared my throat, willing myself to look in his direction.
"That was very kind of you, sir. Thank you."
My words were meant to be something of a dismissal, but he remained in his seat, not even giving a flinch that might indicate that he intended to take his overdue leave. I stopped myself. I shouldn't have been holding such a grudge against him. The tartlet was rightfully his. He was showing himself to be a gentleman by staying here to ensure I was well before going on with his day. My illness had put me in a sour mood, that was all. He gave a nod in response to my words. I was fairly certain his gaze hadn't strayed from me for the entire time he had been sitting in that chair. His features were filled with curiosity, and his rapt attention made me shift and want to hide under the sofa's cushions. He took a breath before a smirk touched his lips again.
"I have never known a woman to faint over the loss of her favourite pastry."
All it had taken was one sentence for me to find him vexing again. "I didn't faint over the pastry. I fainted because I am unwell."
"Ah, yes."
He leaned his elbows onto his knees, clasping his hands together in front of him.
"You did mention a mysterious illness. And that you live here, alone?"
Perhaps I should not have mentioned that detail to a stranger. I didn't have a guardian in the house to protect me. The household staff consisted of several men, but at night they were below stairs, and I was in the main floors of the house alone. "Well," I said, waving a hand in front of me, "not entirely alone. I have a very spry, strong butler, and two footmen, and maids. Also, a cook and housekeeper who are quite robust." I gave a shaky smile. This man was at least twice as strong and broad than any of them. And my butler was not spry or strong.
He was quite frail and old, actually. Something in my words must have amused him. He looked down at his hands to compose his smile before meeting my gaze again.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?